When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
That's my phrase. That's my phrase. We out here. Yeah, that's mine. That's my phrase. We out here.
Well, maybe you have a little bit more credibility to say it than some people that I see. But, you know. And I don't have a picture, a selfie of my luxury. In fact, whenever I do see a picture of myself, I recoil. Like, who is that? You know, it's like, have you ever seen when you're walking into a grocery store and you see yourself on a little closed caption TV? And you're like, who is that? Like, oh, my God, that's me.
Is it bad that I love looking at myself on the closed caption screen?
You're always checking yourself out.
I'm like, ooh.
A little bit.
Look at him.
A little bit.
Look at that guy. What is on your lock screen?
It's a dog.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not even my dog, though. It's my parents' dog, actually.
Weirdo.
Okay. Well, at least it's not a
dog. I don't have a dog because I'm single and I just work too many weird hours.
But at least it's not a random dog.
It's not a random dog.
Like, it'd be funny if you just liked a dog.
Yeah, it's a random dog.
Snuck a picture of it, and now that's your lock screen. That'd be weird. All right. So, obviously, huge news earlier this week in Flowery Branch. The Falcons bench Kirk Cousins. Michael Penix is going to make his first start in the NFL on Sunday against the Giants. How hard of a decision do you think this was?
I don't think it would have been hard. I mean, you know, based on the way he was playing, I think actually it speaks to the fact that they actually made the change despite them winning the game, because you hardly ever see that, but that's just how bad the offensive performance was. And you could clearly see in that game that they were protecting Kirk Cousins. They weren't even letting them throw it, and nor could he really kind of throw the ball downfield much. It just feels like opposing defenses. I've been asked this question a lot about, like, what do I think has happened, or like, what has happened to Kirk from, you know, in week 9, the team was 6-3. He was third in the NFL in passing yards and passing touchdowns, looking great. And I think that teams just figured out you can kind of clamp down on these receivers and bring pressure, you know, bring the blitz. Don't worry about, you know, rush lanes and whatnot. Just get to the quarterback. And as teams have started to do that, I feel like his vision of the field has decreased and decreased to the point where really all he could do in that Raiders game was check the ball down. And that's just not an effective way to play offense. So Zach Robinson even said it yesterday. He said, you know, when they had a meeting, it was, you know, he didn't use the word unanimous, but he kind of said that, you know, everybody was kind of the same mind. And I got to say, I was wrong on this one, because when we talked about when this could have happened, because obviously this has kind of been on the cards now for a couple weeks, I thought that Kirk would get until the team was mathematically eliminated from the playoffs if that were to happen. But ultimately, you know, the performances were such where maybe it's actually a bit of a, you know, silver lining, I guess, not a blessing, but a silver lining, where you can actually make this change and you're not out of playoff contention at this point. So we'll see if Michael Penix can help them crawl themselves back into it.
How do you think they'll call the game for him, Joe? I know we played a clip earlier about from Zach Robinson basically saying, you know, there's going to be some different elements and things like that. But if you see it right now, how do you see it? Do you see more shots down the field, different things like that?
Yeah, I do. You know, I've heard a lot of people talk about how they're going to kind of simplify the game for him and all these kinds of things. And I think that that's true to an extent, but I think that the way that people understand that sometimes is to just play like kind of more reined in. And honestly, I think that they're going to make it simple by saying, you know, we're going to run four verts, you know, and read that safety and, you know, pick a side and go for it. Or, you know, something like that. Maybe simpler reads, but I think that they still want to, as Zach Robinson, the way he put it was, you know, he has a skill set that we plan to activate, which is an interesting way to phrase that. But I think that what he's saying there is that everybody knows Michael Penix has a cannon attached to his left shoulder, and they're going to use that. They're going to use that to the best of their advantage. And I think it will really be interesting to see how these receivers deal with it. And in a positive way, I think it really opens up the field for these guys, where it feels like they've kind of just been so bottled up with the limitations that are on Kirk. I'm interested to see how Drake London, Darnell Mooney, these guys are able to get out there and run into some space, hopefully, and make some plays.
Smokin' Joe Patrick joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, talking about the big story of the week, which is that Michael Penix is going to make his first start this weekend against the Giants. Me and Randy were just talking about this during the break, and it's such a, you know, you can answer in a million different ways. Maybe that makes it a good question, maybe a bad one. But what would success look like for Kirk? For Penix. Like, what is it?
Yeah.
Maybe Sunday, maybe it's a three-game snapshot, I don't know. But how would you define success for him?
Yeah, I don't think it's really as much in the wins and losses as much as it is, you know, first of all, you want to see him kind of bring some more positive vibes back to the fan base and the organization. Sure. You know, this team has played poorly at home, especially as of late. And I think there's an opportunity for him with two home games here in the last three games to really kind of put a charge into some of those people and get them excited about what the future can be. And, you know, winning is part of that. And when you ask Penix, you know, all that he's focused on is winning. He doesn't care about any of the highlights or whatever it might be. But I think that that is what people want to see. And it's obviously what, you know, I think the coaches in front office want to see for, you know, what can be the future of the Falcons offense and how they need to, you know, continue to put weapons around him to bolster that. But ultimately, I say all this just because I want to kind of diminish expectations of what he will do on the result side of things, because it is a very uphill battle the Falcons team faces. They're only 24% chance based on projections to get into the playoffs. So I think it's kind of unfair. You're setting himself into a bad situation if you're just expecting him to lead this team to the playoffs. But I think you just want to see some excitement. You want to feel like it's fun to watch the Falcons again, which it obviously hasn't been for the last 5 or 6 weeks.
Yo, have you ever seen anything like this fall off of what Kurt has? Because I just think something's badly physically wrong with him. Have you ever seen anything? Because he's, like he said, I didn't forget how to play quarterback. I don't believe he forgot how to play quarterback, but I've never seen that like this unless he's hurt or something.
I know. And I asked Zach Robinson about it yesterday, and, you know, you just don't really gonna get any answers, because you feel like if there is kind of a smoking gun there, so to speak, then, you know, they're not going to just, like, put it out there. It was like this.
I think,
you know,
I would prefer them to say it, though. Like, yeah, Kurt's dealing with this. Yeah. I would prefer that.
Might make
you feel better. Like, yeah, that's why.
Yeah, so he went on the injury report. He popped up on there with a shoulder, and I forget what week it is, so I apologize. But it was about a month ago or so. It was kind of right at the beginning of this down stretch. And you do wonder maybe if that would have come into play, but I would have thought that if that actually were the case, then, you know, first of all, the Falcons would put him on IR.
Right.
And then also you could use that if you're trying to, like, maximize his trade value. You'd say, listen, he was dealing with his shoulder. You know, it's going to get better, but we were trying to push through it, et cetera, in convincing that it's not the Achilles that is bothering him, you know, for another team who might want to bring him on. So I'm not discounting the fact that there could be something physical there. I don't know, though. Like, you know, it's just so bizarre. It would be one thing if he had just kind of stunk it up from the whole way through to this point, but that wasn't the case. Like we were talking about earlier, you know, this team was 6-3. He was playing well. You go back and look at some of those highlight reels. I know a lot of people look at the 500-yard game on that Thursday night game, but even go look at that second Bucs game. He's making, you know, throws downfield to Kyle Pitts and stuff, and that was, you know, honestly kind of the end of that. That was like the last we saw of that. But
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Physically, he seemed there. I do think that a large part of it is defense, opposing defensive coordinators just realizing that they can kind of let all the shackles off of their defenders that normally would be on for other quarterbacks. And that's about the best I can come up with, guys. Like, you never know in personal lives, like, if something has happened that's, like, rattled somebody. But, you know, that's just something I don't know. It'd be pure speculation. But it certainly is one of the great mysteries of really the league this season as to what has happened. I can't recall seeing a quarterback specifically have a downturn that's just so sudden and really not characteristic of who he's been his entire career.
Hey, what's going on with Koo? I know he went on IR. Did he get hurt in the game? And what's up with this new guy?
So that's unclear as well. Oh. But, yeah, Riley Patterson's going to come in and most likely be the kicker for the rest of the year. You'd think he's at least going to be the kicker this Sunday. But, yeah, Koo popped up on the injury report a couple weeks ago with this right hip
right. When
they signed Riley Patterson and then didn't play him. They went ahead and played Koo. But clearly there's something, there's an issue there. They didn't even give him a chance to kick from some deep field goals. I noticed even on one of the ones that he made, it looked like the follow-through was a little odd. And then he missed the next one. So clearly there's something up with him. I don't know if this is the end of the road for Younghoe Koo here in Atlanta. It obviously has not been a good year, but, you know, you just want to have that kicking situation locked down. And it's unfortunately contributed to this collapse that this Falcons team has had, really, in this past 5-6 weeks that's knocked them out of this playoff contention. So, you know, hopefully you get better production, better consistent results from Patterson in these last three games that can help you.
Joe, great stuff as always. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.